study of Paul's writings to the church in Colossae. Chapter 1, verse 9, please. Hear the inerrant, inspired, infallible word of the living God. From the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I do pray the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and come, Holy Spirit, to help us understand. In the Christian faith, there are certain facts that come with our relationship with Jesus Christ, and we can rely on these facts because they will never change. And these facts were established in the believer when you and I were redeemed and was forgiven our sins. Paul mentions three of them here. Verse 12. Because of our redemption, because of our place now in Jesus Christ, the Christian is qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. A fact that cannot ever be changed. Through the completed work of Jesus Christ, everything has been done that entitles the believer, you and me, you and I, to claim as our inheritance that membership as a part of the children of God, the family of God. As a forgiven person, all the inheritance of the saints is yours. Think about that for a moment. As we spoke about the glory last week and the hope of heaven, that heavenly realm, that heavenly inheritance is something that is yours as a believer, and that can never be taken away from you. But I have to ask, do you believe this? Or is it just a little bit too much to kind of get our heads around? Let me encourage you that if you trust in Jesus Christ, that you also trust this message as well. That in Jesus Christ we have all things. And in having all things, the inheritance, the wonder and the amazement and the beauty of heaven is ours. The second fact that Paul gives us here. The Christian has been delivered from the domain of darkness. After the sin of Adam and Eve and the curse which God placed upon them, they and their ancestry were handed over to the domain of darkness. They lost, we lost, that intimate relationship with God himself. On that day, they sinned. And not only that, but a great chasm was then formed between God and mankind. Creation was then under the influence of sin and of Satan's power. We read in Romans chapter 8, where creation groans now for the coming of Jesus Christ. The reason creation groans is because it's under the curse of that sin. It is under the curse of the domain of darkness. You and I, while we are not held bondage or captive by our sin, we are influenced by that domain of darkness. One need only look at our world around us to see that domain and its power. But this was not God's intention for his creation. He revealed in his covenantal promises that confirmed his desire to have a people all of his own. So many times we read in Holy Scripture that God desires to be the God of his people. I will be your God and you will be my people. And so this being held right now by this domain of darkness is not the way we will live throughout our existence. We celebrated last week the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I spoke of earlier, what was accomplished in that act? What was accomplished with the dying of Jesus Christ? What was accomplished in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? The domain of darkness was defeated. Its bonds were loosed. And again, we live in this domain at this time, but this is not our home. This is not our home. Our Lord Jesus broke the bonds of sin and death and released his people from Satan and his minions. The believer is no longer the influence of this. We now have come under the influence of another kingdom. The third fact that Paul states here is that the believer has been transferred to the kingdom of his Son. Paul writes in another place that we have been seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. David and I were talking on the porch last week about this phrase, seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Difficult to comprehend. What does that mean exactly? That we are seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus right now. Well, there is a simple answer, yet it does not reduce its difficulty to understand. The believer is in Christ Jesus, and take that as a very tangible, physical, albeit spiritual at this point. Kind of contradicted myself there, didn't I? But take this very literally, that where Jesus Christ is at this moment, so are you. And where is Christ? In heaven. So where are you? On a pew at New Sterling. No, in Christ Jesus, we are seated in the heavenly realms. And so your residency is now in heaven. As I said last week, because this is not our home and our residency is in heaven, we should not get very comfortable here. We should not grow to like this place very much, because this is not what God intends for us. We have already been transferred. We have already been taken. We have already seated in the heavenly realms in Christ. As again I said, this fact, this third fact, should bring an incredible sense of assurance to us. I hope everyone in this room is confident and secure in their salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, one could sit and ponder these beautiful gifts of grace and be overwhelmed very easily, and we are. Qualified to get the inheritance, delivered from the domain of darkness, transferred into a kingdom. And while these facts of the Christian are great and glorious, there's one caution here that Paul is giving in his prayer. Because of this wonder and amazement is indeed that, we should guard against becoming complacent. We should guard from becoming apathetic. Now you'll say, Pastor Tim, how can you become apathetic about this beautiful? We can become so ingrained in what God has done for us, we can sit back and go, oh, you know, I've made it. I've done everything in Christ Jesus. He's done all the work for me. Let's just sit back and enjoy this, Pastor Tim. Isn't this glorious? Yes, it is. But you see, complacency and apathy in our Christian walk is one of the tools, are the tools of the devil. Because you see, the devil, Satan, knows he cannot take your salvation. He knows that. It drives him bats. Yet, in his lies, he can affect your witness. He can draw you away from the core beauties of the Christian faith. And that joyfulness and that beauty, yes, it's there, but we can go, I'm good. But you see, Paul, as a good pastor, prays for his people of Colossae to grow. Do not become complacent. Do not become apathetic. Do not become one of those fringe writers that only shows up once in a while. That only shows up once in a while. Paul is a prayer. And here we see a prayer for these people based on these beautiful gifts. But yet he prays for them to grow. And elders, pastor, here's a model that we should use praying for our people. And Paul is appointed to direct prayer. He does not speak in vague or general terms. Verse 9, he asks that the believer be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul desires that the believer should be filled with the wisdom of God. Oh, that that were the case. Oh, that that were accomplished. That we had the full wisdom of God. We had the full understanding of all things in God. But no, we do not. Paul desires that the Christian grow, that the Christian grow in the wisdom and understanding of God. At our conversion, we did come to know several things about Jesus Christ, as I've mentioned here, that he's our Savior, that heaven is our home, that we are to follow the commands. But does the believer at conversion come to possess all knowledge of God? Absolutely not. So it's Paul's desire for you to grow, for me to grow. This is why it's so necessary. And hear me well. Hear me well. This is why it's so necessary for the Christian to continue to dig deep into the scriptural truths. It's important for the Christian to continue digging into the Word of God. If you think you have ever gained full understanding, if you think you could ever get to the bottom of the wisdom and the wonder that's in Holy Text, you are sadly mistaken. That's why it's so necessary for us to be constant and consistent. And let me encourage some of you in this way. To be constant and consistent in attendance in Bible studies. In attendance in Sunday school. How many of us do not even come to Sunday school? Worship. How many of us have a very sporadic attendance in worship? If we desire to grow, we have to be where the food is given. This is what Paul is praying for, that you would grow with the wisdom of God and the understanding of God. Well, if you're going to grow in this area, you got to be where it's offered consistently. And then following this prayer for growth, Paul has one of those, so that. I pray for this, so that. And here's his list. First, he says three things. That you might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You and I should live our lives in a way that properly and adequately reflects the reality of Jesus Christ in our lives. Simple question. When someone looks at your life, do they see Jesus Christ? When someone hears you talking, do they hear things of Christ? When they see how you treat the folks at Walmart or on the interstate, do they see the things of Christ? Do we adequately, do we reflect, do we live our lives walking in a manner worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ? Second, Paul prays that we would live our lives fully pleasing to him. I think this is why my prayer of confession a while ago was just so confessional. What pleases the Lord? What is it that pleases the Lord? What is the verse you use all the time, Jeff? Micah 6:8. To do justice, walk humbly before the Lord. What pleases the Lord? Following his commands. What pleases the Lord? Loving your neighbor as yourself. What pleases the Lord? Loving your enemies. What pleases the Lord? And the list goes on and on and on. And then ask the opposite. What displeases the Lord? Walk in a manner worthy. Walk in a manner that pleases. Thirdly, Paul prays that the Christian would bear fruit as we increase in the knowledge of God. Now, a very unique gathering of words, a very unique phraseology here. that we would bear fruit as we increase in the knowledge of God. Here is the link between right beliefs and right living. That we would bear fruit as we increase in the knowledge of God. Right beliefs and right living are linked. You see, it's not enough to simply live. It's not simply enough to be productive. I can be productive and be very displeasing to the Lord Jesus. And it's not good enough to just know stuff. It's not just enough to have knowledge. Because knowledge without action, knowledge, as we talked about in Sunday school, knowledge without humility and action leads to conceit. And the wrong knowledge, coupled with actions, leads to destruction. So this link has to be held tightly. Right beliefs, growing in the wisdom and knowledge of God. So again, I must dig into the text. I must dig into the scriptures. I must have a prayer life and gaining the right belief system and then live in a way that pleases the Lord. As we've said many times, our actions are dictated by our thinking. What do you think? What guides your thinking? Because that thinking and what is predominant in your thinking is the emphasis behind your motives and directs your actions. Right beliefs, right living. Now, Paul, I must confess and admit, this is a tall order. Can the Christian accomplish these things on his or her own energies? Well, we all know the answer to that is that we cannot. So Paul being the good pastor, Paul being the good teacher, he continues prayer in verse 11. He says, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. You see, the believer must rely on the work of the Holy Spirit. If it were not for the Holy Spirit, then we would be lost. You see, Jesus accomplished a great work on the cross, and through his resurrection, he accomplished great things. But it wasn't until the coming of the Holy Spirit that brings the power of the Godhead to the believer. Before his ascension, Jesus Christ, recorded in Acts chapter 1, he told his disciples to go to Judea, go to Samaria, and go to all the ends of the earth, go to all parts of the world. And he taught them for 3 years. He taught them. He says, now it's time for you to go out and do. Go out and give what I've taught you. Right beliefs. But he said, do not go until the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 2, we see the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended upon these disciples. I love the beautiful change in Peter. Just some time earlier, Peter had denied Jesus Christ again and again and again. He was a loudmouth, boisterous, but yet see the man and how he changed after the coming of the Holy Spirit in his sermon in the latter portion of Acts chapter 2. Not only did he admit Jesus Christ, and he did not deny in front of these that he had denied earlier, he now condemns them, saying, you are the one that killed the Christ. Because of the coming of the Holy Spirit brought a courage within him that he could do then what Jesus Christ had taught him the 3 years previous. And see, that's where we are here. Paul is praying that we grow in wisdom, we grow in understanding, that we bear fruit, that we walk in a way worthy of our Lord. We walk in a way that pleases the Lord. Yes, 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 and yes. And we ought to have ambition to do that. But we pray, Holy Spirit, come, empower me that I can walk in that light. Empower me that I can do the things that pleases the Lord. Pray that the Spirit show you what is good and pleasing to him. We have been immensely blessed to share in the inheritance of the saints, that the influence of this dark, dark world is not my home, and that I am now seated in the heavenly realms in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. But do not let me rest. Do not let me rest in the confidence of these accomplishments. But I pray that this day that you and I would continue to grow, that you and I would continue to dig into the scriptures. I pray that you and I would have better attendance in the things going on here at church, so that you can be here where you're fed. It breaks my heart, folks, I'll be really honest with you. It breaks my heart in the lax attendance of the people in New Sterling in some ways. Now, I'm speaking to the choir because y'all all are here. I have people come up to me often. Why are our elders not in some of these services? Why are our deacons not here? Why is attendance so low? Why are there not more people here in Sunday school? Apathy. Apathy. We are given such beautiful gifts, and we treat them as non-essential. I, like Paul, pray for you, asking that you would be filled with knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Let's pray together. Father, please excuse my personal words. They were out of line. But Father, teach us, lead us, that we would grow in you, that we would walk in a manner worthy, that we would walk in a way pleasing, and that we would bear fruit in conjunction with our belief system that reflects a true and right and good faith, and that they would see Jesus Christ in us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.